Mark chapter 4, verse 3, there went out a sower to sow. Verse 4, and it came to pass he sowed, fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground and had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. It had no root, it withered. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground. Say, that's me. That's the ones we're looking for, the good ground. Hallelujah. Did yield fruit, sprang up, increased, and brought forth 30, 60, and 100. Say, that's me. I'm 100. That's what we want. We want 100-fold. We don't want anything less than 100-fold. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes not everybody can make it when you're going after 100-fold because they just don't have that kind of sight. They don't have that kind of vision. They don't have that kind of heart that wants all of it. They just want part of God. Amen. You got 30-fold churches, 60-fold churches, 100-fold churches. Amen. If you want the best, it costs you everything. But you're going to get everything in return. Amen. But it'll be costly. Nobody wants anything that costs them anything. Unfortunately, the kingdom of God, salvation was free. Everything else cost everything. At that point, it cost. Verse 9, he said to them, he that had the ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's going to get into the interpretation. To get into the interpretation of this good ground, we're going to have to not only look at Mark 4, we're going to have to look at Matthew 13, we're going to have to look in Luke 8, because there's major components of this parable. And each one of these, he's going to give you major components of the operation of his word. Now, notice what he says. In verse 10, when he was alone, they were about him, with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said something remarkable. He said to them, unto you it's given to know the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, these things are done in parable. That seeing they may see and perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted. Now look at verse 13. This is the one I want to get into. He said to them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? In other words, if you don't understand what I am saying to you today, you have no grid, you have no foundation, you have nothing to base your understanding on of all the other parables. This is a master key. If you understand what I'm saying to you, you're going to understand how my kingdom works. Makes me want to just dive in and not come out, amen, until the understanding of this is just full and fluid, amen. So, look down at verse 20. Let's look at this good ground. Now, he gives the interpretation from verse 13 to 20. We'll get more into the interpretation if we go on this message, but I want to drop down verse 20. He said, and these are they which are sown on what? Good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth what? 30, 60, and 100-fold. He talks about the sower sowing the word. Now, Luke 8 tells us specifically, we'll get over this later, that the seed that the sower is sowing is the word. The word is the seed is the word. That's the very essence of the kingdom of God. In the transferring of the kingdom, it's always going to transfer first through seed. When you want something from God, what does he do? He sends his word. When God promises you something, he sends his word. When God wants to do something in your life, he first sends his word. That's where you have to look the very first thing. When we want something from heaven, the first place we look is his word, because that's where the initial transference is going to be made. And it's going to come not in manifestation form. It's going to come in seed form. It's a word that he's going to sow into your earthen vessel. But in that word is your future. In that word is your life. In that word is your destiny. In that word, there's a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold operation. The devil knows it. He knows it a lot better than we do. Because the Bible says he's going to come immediately for it. As soon as it gets released, God said, my word in Isaiah 55 will not return to me void. I'm going to send it out. When he sends his word, as soon as that word gets dispatched, the inheritance is in that word. The problem is it doesn't show up here in manifestation form. It shows up here as a seed. But locked in that seed, like every other seed, God did a miraculous thing when he created the earth. He created what was called a seed. In that seed had the programming of what the fruit of that. If it was an apple seed, I don't know how a seed can be brown, but it can make a tree and turn into red apples. With white feeling, that's sweet. One seed can produce that tree. That tree didn't show up. That seed produced it. Look how much larger that tree is than those little seeds that were sown into the ground. See, that's how the word comes. When it comes, it'll come with explosive faith. It'll come with explosive vision. How many of you ever had a download of God? He brought his word to you and just, whoa! Makes you feel like Superman. Makes you feel like it's going to happen right then. Because that word comes with faith. It comes with power. It comes with vision. And he sows it in you. And he sticks you on the mountain. And you go, ah! You think it's going to happen tomorrow because the faith that's on that word gets planted up in you. Somebody needs to shout amen in here. It gets planted up in you. But it's still a seed. You think it's going to happen tomorrow because when that initial deposit hits you, it hits you with faith. When he downloads vision, when he downloads destiny, when he downloads your future, he brings it in a seed, and that seed has faith in it. When you get it, you feel like I am Superman. I made mistakes in the past. When he downloaded, I think it's going to happen tomorrow. I just jump out of the boat and get after it. He said, no, son, this is the seed. You're just feeling the faith that's come where that seed came from. This seed's going to have to go through a few things before you actually get the fruit from that seed. There's actually going to be four interactions before that seed comes to fruition. Just because you get a vision, don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen tomorrow. But it will happen someday tomorrow. You're going to have to work with it. You're going to have to walk with it. You're going to have to interact with it. You'll have a responsibility. You'll carry it. You'll carry it through fire. You'll carry it through water. You'll carry it through difficult times. You'll carry it through good times. You'll be on the mountain thinking it's tomorrow. You'll be down in the valley thinking it's 10 years from now. Back on the mountain, it's going to happen tomorrow. Back down in the valley. You're going to carry it. Just like a ground carries seed. You're going to carry that promise. It's not going to be cheap. It's going to cost you because every seed, when it falls into the ground, it's going to die first. It's going to live and die. You'll think that thing that God sowed in you, you'll be on the mountain one day and the next day you'll be in the valley burying the thing. It's gone. It's never going to happen. I'm dead. The seed's dead. My future's dead. I don't even care anymore. You run from the seed and you think it's not there and it stays right there with you. That's the stuff you go through. Then the enemy, he has his way. He comes after that thing hard. He comes immediately. If he can't steal it from those, the ones that are immediate, they have nothing. They just got it and gone. He just snatched it out. They can't stay next to the Lord. Just back and forth all the time. Amen. Now, let's see what kind of word this is. Go to Matthew 13, 19. Because he talks about this. Is the word. The sower soweth the word. Very clear in Luke 8:11, he says, the seed that sower sowed is the word of God. That word that you carry in has your future in it. The devil knows it. I can assure you he knows it. He's not afraid of you, but he's very much afraid of what's up inside you. That's why when you get where the word's very heavy and meaty, you'll find more warfare around that kind of operation. You'll find less warfare when it's very watered down, because he already has that thing managed anyway. But when you get up in the meatiness and the heaviness and the weighty things of God, you'll find a whole lot more demonic activity around it. A whole lot more. And the reason is because he's after what that word, what that meatiness, what that weightiness can produce. Because it can break a cycle and shift systems, change whole systems of the way things have been done year after year after year. God will raise men up, raise women up. He'll raise them up to shift and change the system. Well, it's been done like this 50 years. Yeah, but I'm carrying something new now. Something's up inside of me, and it's not going to be business as usual anymore. Church as usual. There's a brand new government. Where is it? I'm carrying it right now. It's got to go through a few things. If I'm willing to carry it, it's going to land on this planet. And it's going to shift the way things are done. Matthew 13, 19. Let's see what specific word that he said. He said, if you don't understand this operation of my word, this specific type of word, you're not going to understand anything. So he gives us a little clue, a mystery of what he was talking about. Same parable. But notice what he says in Matthew 13, 19. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. That's actually one of the processes you'll have to go through. This is not just any word. It's the word of the kingdom. How the kingdom operates. Revelation of the kingdom. It's my words are spirit and they're life to those that find them. God has not turned this gospel over to us to do it ourselves. He's going to do it his way. And that word and the revelation in it is going to teach us how to get the job done. How many of you carrying something? That's what makes you dangerous. Because you're carrying something. You might be carrying something brand new. You may not be able to fit anywhere. Can't fit here, can't fit there. I'm carrying something. I am. It's passed through the water. It's passed through the fire. Sometimes I want to carry it, sometimes I don't. It never leaves me. Even when you don't want to carry, you ever know when you start running, you just checked out? You ever get in that checked out place? Neutralized, I don't care. You know, you just check out, but that thing just gnaws on you. Something gnaws on you. I'm checked out right now. I'm on a self-appointed vacation. Even though I got to go to work, I'm self-appointed vacation, checked out. Indifferent, don't care, leave me alone. Problem is, you can run from everybody and everyone, but that gnawing inside you will never leave you. Because you already got pregnant. That seed done got up inside you. It's got another system and it's got life in it. Even when you don't want it, that life will start speaking to you. Leave me alone. You're going to go through every emotion known to man. You're going to probably go through every trial known to man. Because that seed's going to get tried. It's going to get tried in you. The devil's going to try it. God's going to try it. But in that seed is your future. And it has destiny in it. So let's look at this word of the kingdom, shall we? The very first operation of the word of the kingdom is hear the word mentioned in all three chapters, Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4. Hear the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. If you're wearing Matthew 13, just look at verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground This is the good ground. Now, right now, I'm going to focus on the good ground because that's where we're headed. Amen. The seed is the good ground. And what's the thing they do? They hear. That's the very first thing. You have to hear it. You got to be around it. You got to be in hearing length of it. You got to stay around it till something gets up inside you. Amen. Hear the word. The Bible says in Psalms 107, he sent his word to heal us, to deliver us. Notice what he did when you want something. What's God do? When you ask God for something, what's he do? We look for him to send the manifestation. But we're looking in the wrong place, because when you want something from heaven, God transfers heaven through a miraculous seed called the word. He releases his word. When you ask him, the first thing you're going to get is his word. Because God's going to do it by promise. He's going to do it by faith. That's his way. Pastor Chuck's one got me up into this Thursday night. I tell you, I had some kind of breakthrough. Man, I'll tell you, sometimes you just put up with the enemy. You just get tired and you put up with him, and just something just came alive in me and said, what am I doing? Boy, I climbed back up high in the mountain of God. Since Thursday night, I've been in the mountain of God. I tell you right now, I've been in the mountain of God. It's awesome up in there. Because you know what? When you're up in the mountain of God, the enemy don't go up in that mountain. It's only when you just get lazy and drop down a little bit. Get distracted and drop down a little bit. You drop down in his warfare machine, he'll never leave you alone. You just go through it all the time. You'll have to learn to get up above that. You have a place in Christ. He says, in me there is peace. In the world there's tribulation. See, those are two systems. You learn to live under the shadow of the Almighty. The enemy don't come up under the shadow of the Almighty. He gets stopped out right there, see. And you have a right to go up. The Bible says you're seated together in heavenly places so you can go up. You've got to get up there. That's your ascent or your descent into Christ. However you want to see it, I either go in or up. When you get there, you got to learn to stay there. Amen. It's a responsibility. Hallelujah. So he says he hears the word of the kingdom. All right, now that we're in Matthew 23, let's look at the next phase of this. We're going to look at good ground from Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And each one of them describe a new operation, but every one of them, the base is the hearing of the word. Now, most everyone in here has already gotten to that point. Amen? Let's look at the next phase that this seed's going to go through. Matthew 13, verse 23 says, he that received seed into the good ground, guess what? You are the good ground. You are the earthen vessel. It goes up into you. Amen? He says, he heareth the word. So there's the hearing, right? But notice what he adds to it, and understandeth it. Say, understandeth it. Which also bears fruit and bringeth forth 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, this kind of understanding is not the mental ascent where you just open every single book in the world and just read, read, knowledge, 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 knowledge. It's not that kind of understanding. Knowledge is not going to produce the kingdom. It'll give you the basis of the kingdom, but it's revelation knowledge. It's the understanding of the dynamics of how the kingdom works and the understanding of revelation being taught by the Holy Ghost. Being taught. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Paul, go over to Ephesians for a minute. I'll share this with you. That's why he said in Mark 4, he says, unto you is given to know the mysteries. They're mysteries. This word has an operation, but we have to understand how all this works. We understand how it works. will move and flow with it. Amen. Now, Paul had a very powerful prayer that he introduced in Ephesians 1. We have to have the spirit of revelation on our life. We have to be constantly under and in the revelation of God. Constant enlightenment of the kingdom of God. Because I can tell you the enemy's going to be constantly trying to get you to eat from his tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. He'll offer you to eat from that. It's just everywhere now. The systems of this world, I don't know if you can feel it or not, just kind of closing in. It's a sedation of darkness. Just one step and one layer at a time after now. Just accepting and accepting another layer and accept another layer until we walk around just dull. We have to be above that. There's to be an enlightenment. There's to be understanding. He that heareth the word and understandeth the word of the kingdom. Not just from a knowledge standpoint. Watch what Paul said in Ephesians 1 and 17. He's in the middle of a prayer here, and notice his prayer. He says, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give the Father of glory. I like that, Father of glory. And I get up in him, I said, oh, Father of glory, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Cover us, Father. Cover, clothe us. Clothe us, Father, in here right now. Clothe us in heaven, for heaven is our home. I don't know about you, but I sure like being with him. He's just wonderful. I sure don't like it when I'm not with him either. It's good. The higher you get, the higher you'll stay. Because you get up there high and you get away from the enemy for a while, and just the Lord is so beautiful, and you drop out of that. You'll get back in there. Because you know how good it is. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you hadn't been up into the Lord and tasted a long time. So your senses have been dull. Don't even know how good it is anymore. Somebody walking around here, they're shining like a light bulb. Because they're up in the Lord. They're in the joy of the Lord. They're in the peace of the Lord. You are a steward of your garden. God doesn't change much. You still have a garden, a steward. It's just up inside you. You have to steward that garden like man did in the beginning. Gave you charge over the garden of God. Don't do anything with it. Thorns will grow up. How many of you leave your lawn alone? You know, at Christmas time, I told my yard man, because the grass don't grow. At Christmas, I said, I'll just come back, you know, later. All of December, all of January and February, the grass is still there, but the weeds, I said, look at these. It was flower beds. It's a bunch of bushels now. He come in there. I said, it's time to do my lawn. He said, we're going to do this two or three phases now. He go, we're going to weed eat it. Then I'm going to spray it and we're going to kill it all. That's what happens when you leave your garden alone. Those weeds, they just get all up and around you and they enclose the vision. See, the enemy, he wants to send weeds and entangle the word of God up inside you and choke it out. See, he wants to choke. If he can't snatch it out of your heart, he'll try to choke it. You are going to have to be a champion and very skilled in this area. It's not going to be an option for you. If you want to see the fruit of God in your life, you're going to have to cultivate great word. Interact. Hold it as precious. You can't leave it alone and think nothing's going to happen. It'll get choked out and you'll go through a season where everything in your life gets choked out. You become a liability in the kingdom instead of an asset. God will have to take all his assets and move them into the liability column just to work with one liability. Some liabilities require 10 assets around them all the time. Did y'all get that? Ephesians, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, notice this, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and acknowledge him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's the understanding of the kingdom. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You have to live in that revelation. See, if all you do is just open your Bible and you're not close to the Lord, you're just going to get knowledge. Just to do well, I just read my Bible, you know, get a chapter here, chapter there. When you're close to him, see, you're close to the life. See, he is the word. When you're in him and close to him, that revelation comes forth from that book. The spirit of wisdom comes forth from it. The spirit of revelation, you have to live by that. That's the kind of understanding he's talking about. Amen? Now, for the sake of time, let's look at the third one. This one's huge. Go over to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 20. It says, these are they which are sown on the good ground. Here's that good ground again. Now, Mark's going to give you another dimension of this operation. What are we looking for? Good ground, 30, 60, 100-fold. We hear the word. We understand it. Here's the next level right here. They such as hear the word and what? Receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Mark, let's say, when you pray, believe that you receive. There's a reception in the kingdom of God. Now, this is huge because you can have things in your life that block the reception of God's word because there's a transference of inheritance that comes by his word. And the agency of that transference is the Holy Ghost. He is the one that's going to take that word. He's going to bring it out of the right hand of God, and he's going to transfer it to you. But there are things that can block that transference. Offense, unforgiveness, trespass, continual and habitual sin will block the transference. You can have the understanding, but not get the transference. There is a transference. I'm going to show it to you. Go to Acts 2 and John 16. I'll show you something powerful. What did he say this was? He said it was the what? Word of the what? Kingdom. Remember? So what we want to understand is how the kingdom transfers, because we don't understand how the kingdom transfers, we're not going to know how the reception takes place. See, the Bible says when you pray, believe that you receive. So when we're praying, we're looking for the manifestation. When God himself is going to send the manifestation in the form of a word, we got to start looking in the right place. When you pray, most of the time, God's going to send his word. Send his word. Start looking in the right place. Get impregnated. Then you're going to have your answer. Let's see where that word is sent from and who is he sending it by. Because this is understanding the word of the kingdom and how to receive from the kingdom. Amen. Now, we know that Christ in his resurrection, he ascended into the right hand of God and became the appointed heir of all things. It said it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all fullness would dwell. The appointed heir, I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, thou art my son. This is in his resurrection, because Paul said it was in his resurrection. Quoting right out of Psalms 2, out of Acts 13, quoting out of Psalms 2. This is the king in a resurrected state. He said, ask of me, son, the nations of thine inheritance, uttermost parts of the earth as thy possession. So we know he inherited the fullness of the Father. All right? So with that in mind, Acts 2, verse 31. Peter's in the process of preaching on the right hand of God in Christ's ascension and his resurrection. I'll just pick it up in the middle of it. And he says, he's seen this before. This is one of the most powerful, powerful scriptures in the entire word of God. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. And his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all eyewitnesses. I like that. The restoration of the eyewitness. Okay, look at what he says, verse 33. It says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Christ was resurrected. He says, now he ascended on high. We're all eyewitnesses of his resurrection. He says, now therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. So where was he raised up? In the right hand of God, right? So that's where he received the inheritance of the Father. Hebrews 1 says he becomes the appointed heir of the Father. Now, you know, in John, it says Jesus himself said, you know, the Father's going to send the Holy Ghost. But he also then two chapters later said, I'm going to send him. And the matter of fact, they both sent him. And it's very important to understand how they sent him. Because this is how you're going to receive of the kingdom. Now watch what happens. He ascends into the right hand of God, pleases the Father, all fullness to dwell in Christ. Even Daniel saw it. I saw him ascend before the Ancient of Days, and he received a kingdom and a dominion. See, he received an inheritance from the Father as the king. Amen. Now watch what happens. Powerful. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, verse 33, having received of the Father. Who received? Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Look at that. Would you look at that right there? Jesus ascended into the right hand, and the Father sent the Holy Ghost to him. To him. Why? Why was the Holy Ghost sent to him? He says, therefore, he has done what you see here today. Because Jesus sends him from the right hand. But first, he sent into the right hand. Because Christ receives this inheritance, and he hands it over to the Holy Ghost. And when he hands it over to the Holy Ghost, he goes, now I'm sending you to the church. With all that I have, it's entrusted to you now. Give it to them. Show it to them. Teach it to them. Help them to receive. Now go to John 16. But there are distinctive roles. And the Holy Ghost plays a major role. Christ plays a major role. The Father plays a major role. The Word plays a major role. And you play a major role. This is not all God and none of you. He's going to get none of you, and then it's going to be part of you. You're going to interact his way. It's just not with the old man you're not going to interact. He's going to destroy, cut out the old man, and you're going to interact with him the way he wants you to interact with him. Well, let's look at this, John 16. So we see Christ ascends in the right hand. We see the Father sends the Holy Ghost to him. We see him hand the Holy Spirit his inheritance, and we see him send the Holy Ghost, and man, the Holy Spirit explodes upon the church. He's exploding the inheritance that Christ gave him. I love this chapter. I love this scripture. John 16, verse 13. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He what? Will not speak of himself. What the Holy Ghost is showing you is not originating from him. Why? Because Christ sent him. He is speaking the words of the Father, and he is speaking the words of Christ. And when he's revealing the mysteries of God, he's going to transfer what Christ gave him to you. Now let's see how he makes the transference. Watch this. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Notice he's transferring the kingdom by the word. Transferring by the word. Isn't that good? He'll show you things to come. He will glorify me. That's why you don't worship the Holy Ghost under this dispensation. He won't receive it right now. You will worship him later, but this is a dispensation where all glory goes to the Son and the Father. So when you try to worship him, he's going to turn it up. Because right now he is here to be a co-laborer with you, to help you as the Spirit of truth, to lead you, to guide you. If you try to, it's going to feel funny if you try to worship him. Because he's here to help you. Because his mission right now is to glorify Christ. His mission is to glorify that inheritance that you have in him. Now watch what he says. He'll glorify me, for he will receive of mine. Now who's speaking here? Christ. He's going to receive of mine. Where did he do that? In the right hand. We just showed you the scripture. He's going to receive of mine. Who's going to receive mine? The Holy Ghost is going to receive of mine. When Christ ascended to the right hand, so he's up in the right hand, then the Father sends the Holy Ghost, and Christ hands him the inheritance. It says, he, the Holy Ghost, will receive of mine. Mine what? Next verse, all things that the Father hath are mine. Say, all power in heaven and earth. Worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He was the king that sat upon the holy hill. He received the apostolic government. He received all things of the Father. He says he'll receive of mine and what? Show it. If you have an amplified, he'll say he'll disclose it, he'll declare it, and he'll transmit it to you. The transmitter is the Holy Ghost. He's transmitting the inheritance by way of the Word of God that's sent from the right hand. Christ sends his Word. This is the Word of revelation. This is not just the Word of knowledge. This is the inspired Word that impregnates you for harvest. He transfers the Word. Holy Ghost is the agent of transfer. That's why he says you got to hear the Word of the kingdom. You're going to have to understand how this works, and you're going to have to receive the Word of the kingdom. You got to get close to the Holy Ghost and understand the process by which he teaches you, leads you, guides you, but also transmits the kingdom to you, because the kingdom's coming by the Word. He sent his Word. We are carrying something because God sent his Word. We're carrying something that was transmitted by the Holy Ghost. We're walking with it. We're talking with it. We're interacting with it. Holding it. But we have received. How many of you have received something? Raise your hand. I'm not talking about receive something in this earth. You're carrying something inside you. How many? You've got a reception going on. Where did that get received? The Holy Ghost was sent with that impregnation. That is your future. That's the place you need to look when you want God to do something for you. Because that is ultimately where your future is going to be born from. That Word's going to become flesh. It's going to dwell among you. But you're going to have to carry it. I'm just going to introduce the next phase, and we'll have to pick it up another time. Amen. This is the most difficult phase of all. This one right here is going to make you or break you. It's going to be the difference of a massive inheritance in the kingdom of God or just becoming part of the status quo. So we see we receive it. All right, I want you to go to Luke 8. Now, this is Luke's version of good ground. See, all three of them gave you a mystery. You put all the mysteries together, exact same parable. Parable of the sower. But Luke's going to give you something powerful here. Luke 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which an honest and good heart. It's going to start with your ground, by the way. Amen. Doesn't matter your flesh, it's your heart. David had a lot of shortcomings, but boy, he attracted the magnificence of the Father with all his shortcomings. You can have a Mary Poppins type anointing, just be perfect in every way and can't attract heaven, but boy, you're so good all the time. Your flesh, you can just curve it down, cut it down. You got it concealed. You can walk around society and just be perfect. Mary Poppins walking around. Then Jack Daniels comes along, and I mean, he's got every single problem imaginable under the sun with his flesh. He can't stop anything. They make the best kind of servants. You know why? Because you couldn't stop the old nature when you were Jack Daniels. So when you got born again, you can't stop the new one flowing either. Mary Poppins wants control of the soul. Jack Daniels doesn't know control. When he falls in love with God, it's anything goes. He'll be reckless as all get out, but he'll get things done. Because he don't know Just let it all hang out. Let the chips fall. Jack Daniels will get out of the boat. Mary Poppins will sit in there and she'll just, you know. Good ground, honest and good heart. It says, having heard the word, look at this. Keep it. Say, what? Now that's the fourth phase. You hear the word. You understand the word of the kingdom. You receive the word of the kingdom by the Holy Ghost. This is not reading your Bible receiving. It's transference by the Holy Ghost. Now that you're pregnant, you're in a good place. Now what you got to do? Keep it. You know, the book of Deuteronomy went in there. He told them 35 times, keep my word. Don't let it depart. The same wisdom he gave Moses, he gave it to Solomon. Solomon said, keep, bind his word to your eyes. Don't let it depart. When you get it, don't let go of it. Because somebody's coming for it. The enemy's going to come hard after that word in ways that you are not aware of. In every way imaginable, he's coming after that. All the warfare around your life, you think it's to make you sad. He's coming after the deposits of God inside of you. He wants that word. You are not the threat. It's that word up inside you is the threat, because he knows it may be a seed. But my God, that seed can grow. And when it grows, it'll multiply beyond the enemy's ability to stop it. He wants to crush it in seed form. He wants to crush it as a tender plant. He doesn't want to crush it when he gets to be a full-blown oak tree that he can beat up against all day long and said, beat away, shoe fly, shoe. That's not the time to stop it. Now, he's going to come at you. Go to Mark 4 real quick, and then I'm going to take you to one more scripture, and then we're going to close. He's going to come at you with five things, enemy. Mark 4, he's going to five major areas. He's going to come hard at it. First thing he's going to do is going to snatch it. That's for people that last 3 days in the kingdom. Those are the easy ones. That's definitely not talking about you. You're the ones that can endure a few things. So the first thing he's going to launch against is persecution and affliction. You'll find this in Mark 4. I'm just going to exhort it. You read Mark 4 later. If persecution, if he can't beat it out of you, he's going to try to afflict you. Anybody been through persecution? Try to get you offended. Try to get some scars going up on you. Try to get some trespasses going, walk around bruised and beat up and wounded all the time, everywhere you go. Takes 10 assets to minister to one liability. You know, that kind of thing. Just constant. If you can't get it that way, he'll shift it. Cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. Everything he can do to snatch the operation of the word of the kingdom before it changes the systems of this world. You're going to go through it all. I don't want to stand up here and tell you anything different. The kingdom of God is not always just joy. The kingdom of God is being able to carry something from heaven and keep it through the fire and keep it through the water and keep it through turmoil and keep it through some affliction and persecution. Keep it. Say, keep it. Keep it. Because what's up inside you will change this world. The enemy knows that. That's why he fight you like he does. He's after something. That's why I said, guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it will flow the issues. You're going to have to bind it in the frontlets of your eyes. He said, write it. Put it up on your doorpost. Put it up on your mantle. Put it up on your gates. Twice going out, I see it. Twice coming back in. Gate, there's my vision. Door, there's my vision. Going back out in the morning, vision, vision. You got to get it in front of you like that. You call it a vision statement. I call it a constitution. Right here is what I'm asking God for. One of the things I'm asking for. And I've cataloged everything he ever said about the subject. And when I hold it right here, when I'm in prayer, I bind that word. I bind it to my heart. I'm not going to let go of it. If I don't let go, and if I can keep this promise it's going to manifest. If I can keep it, it's going to manifest. If I keep it, all I got to do now is keep it. The Bible says you got to keep it with patience. Keep it. Keep it. I told you, you're going to have to do something. I don't want to do anything. If you don't want to do anything, the enemy's going to keep running over you. That's just a fact. If you don't want to do anything, you're going to be in the same condition next year, just wondering if God will ever bring a miracle your way. If he does, the enemy will snatch that miracle up from your life too. You either going to be somebody that learns how to keep something or someone that gets everything stolen from them. Matthew 13, verse 12. What does Jesus say in John 15? I'll give you two great things you're going to learn how to do with God. Abide in me and my words to abide in you. Then you can ask what you will. If that word gets snatched, you don't get to ask what you will. It has to be here. It has to be intact. When you come through the most difficult season of your life, you emerge and the word's still intact. You come up out of that season, you can say, I still have my word. I don't care what you cut off during that time, I still have this word. Matthew 13, verse 12. For whosoever hath my word, he's talking about the same parable, has my word, to him shall be given. See that? Look at this. And he shall have more abundance. So he that has my word, if you'll keep it, if you can go through the process and keep it, to him is going to be given the kingdom. And he's going to have more abundance. I come that you have life and life more abundantly. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But you don't understand how the kingdom transfers. We just want to pray and God manifest it out here. I won't carry nothing. I want to go through nothing. I don't want nothing to go through up in here. I just want it to manifest. Just give me the fruit. It doesn't work that way. Have you figured that out yet? I got to keep something. But to him that has, to him shall be given the kingdom. To him that has my word, and he will have more abundance. Boy, there's another half to that verse. You better listen to this very carefully, my friends. Whosoever hath not my word, the enemy snatched it, neutralized it, stole it, corralled it, choked it out. Him that hath not my word, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I'm going to share something with you, very important. You are a steward of your garden. If you let that word be stolen, from Deuteronomy to Proverbs to the New Testament, it's the same wisdom. You must bind it. You must keep it. Don't let it depart. But him that has not my word, if it gets stolen, if it gets neutralized, if it gets corralled, if it gets suffocated, the enemy will come and rend your life and take away what you even seem to have. What you don't know is, even though you're going through things and you feel like you're holding on, that word is keeping the enemy from stealing from you. When you keep that word, eventually the whole kingdom's coming. Eventually, God's going to increase and multiply you. But if you let it go, he'll come and take. The enemy will come and he'll see that there's no word there. Finds the house empty, swept, and garnished. See, you're swept and garnished, but you're empty. I don't see any word. I'll come and take over the house. He'll take away what you even seem to have. But the enemy is stealing from you left and right. It's probably a good place to check is right here. What happened? He that abideth in me, and my words abide in him, he can ask what he wills. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Easiest thing to preach, the hardest thing you're ever going to do. Don't take my word for it, just try it. Because the enemy's going to constantly, see, he knows if he can snatch that word out of your heart, he has power to rend your life now. There's nothing going to stop him. There's no resistance. We have a ultimate responsibility, especially those of you that are pregnant in the spirit. You've been divinely pregnated with the kingdom. You have an ultimate responsibility, all of us, to keep what God's given and see it to its end. No matter what kind of fire we're going to go through, no matter what kind of water we're going to go through, no matter what we're going through, we have to keep it. Everyone say, keep it. Hold your hand, say, keep it. I vow this day to keep it. I vow this day before heaven and earth to keep it. No matter the cost, keep it.